child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. Nothing but fullness thy longing can meet. 'Tis the endowment for life and for service. Thine is the promise, so precious, so sweet. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your heart to the gift I am bringing. While ye are seeking me, I will be found. Hallelujah! All that Jesus demands from us, he gives to us. He certainly demands a great deal from his disciples, but every grace we need is provided, purchased, provided in Christ. Hallelujah. I want to read a few words from Luke 12. The 12th of Luke, I begin with the 29th verse. Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. That ought to satisfy us. The Father knows, and he does know. He's our Father. The Lord Jesus says in another place, I think it's in the preceding chapter, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts, or as it says in Luke, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. My, he's our Father, he loves us. And wherever he sees a need, he is ready to supply that need. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. No, these things you need for your earthly life shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief. Now let me see, what does it say here? My glasses are not the right ones. Where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about, and your lamps, your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. This know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. It's a wonderful thing to be a disciple of Jesus. The word Christian has been applied in such a wrong way that we almost hesitate to use that term. It's the most beautiful name that was given, we are told, to the disciples first at Antioch. It's the name of the disciples. But nowadays, that name has been dishonored. But I say it's a wonderful thing to be a disciple. Only the disciples who bear the name Christian aright. A disciple of Jesus. The Lord Jesus speaks here to his disciples, and he tells them what he expects of them. For one thing, he says to them that they are to be separated from the world. They are not to worry about earthly needs, and they are not to become tied up with earthly things in their inner life. Their heart is to remain free. Why, that's a very present danger, isn't it? We are in this world, but disciples of Jesus are saved out of this world. They belong to the kingdom of Christ. They belong to his little flock. Hallelujah. Oh, what a privilege it is to belong to Jesus, to be his disciple. And here, in these verses which I read last, verse 35 and the following, the Lord Jesus describes the right attitude of the disciples. Let your loins be girded about. Let your lights be burning. And ye, be ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the waiting, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Now here we have a word which we find repeatedly with reference to the coming again of Jesus. What I say unto you, I say unto all, be watching. Watch. Be watching. And so here we are told what it means to be watching for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple is a Christian. A Christian who is serving the Lord Jesus Christ, who is following him, and who is waiting and watching for his return. That's what the Lord here tells us. To be watching for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be waiting for him to come, means that we keep our loins girt about and our lamps burning. Let your loins be girded about and let your lights be burning, and thus be ye like unto men who are waiting for their Lord. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Now certainly, we have often heard that admonition, haven't we? But you know, that's still the greatest danger for God's people. It is the danger that they lose that watchful attitude or misinterpret it. Watching for the coming of Jesus, waiting for him, looking for him. The end of all things is at hand, therefore be sober and watch. And if you are sober and if you are watching, you will be sober and you will be watching unto prayer. My God, help us that the hope shall not become to us just a doctrine. The hope of the coming of Jesus. Why, you say, that's impossible. And yet, beloved, that's the great strategy of the devil. We may have the doctrine of the coming of the Lord Jesus, and yet not be truly watching for his coming. Certainly, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be watching for his coming. For the Holy Ghost gives us that spirit of watchfulness. Let your loins be girded about. Let your lights be burning. Of course, we understand that picture quite well, don't we? A man going out to a wedding feast, and he says, now I don't know when I'll return, before or after midnight, but I want you to keep your loins girt, and I want you to keep the lamps burning. I want to be ready any hour to open unto me, to serve. Don't you go to sleep. In 1 Thessalonians, we are called, the disciples are called the children of light. The others, children of the world, they are children of the night. They sleep. They are drunk. But you are children of the light. That day is not to overtake you as a thief. Now the Lord says, I don't want you to be overtaken by that day as one is overtaken by a thief. I want you to stay away. He uses a very peculiar figure, it is true, but this is the thought. We are to be awake because we know not the hour when the Lord comes. So we are to keep in readiness and in the attitude of watchfulness. I think when we remember other Bible passages, we understand the spiritual meaning of this kind of watchfulness. It is certainly interesting how the disciples of the Lord Jesus are very frequently called bond servants of the Lord Jesus. Slaves. Slaves. So here again, he admonishes his slaves. That's the word that is used. Hallelujah. Do you realize that you are a slave of Jesus? That is that you are bought. A bought servant. He becomes the property of his master. The master has a right to command him. And that slave cannot belong to the union either. 8 hours a day. He cannot demand higher wages. We are, the Lord Jesus makes some of these servants say, these slaves in a place, we are just bondservants. We have done our duty by obeying our master. We belong to him, beloved. But isn't that a glorious position to be in? I'm a bond servant of Jesus. He bought me with his blood. I'm not my own. I belong to him. And now, because he has redeemed me and bought me, I'm his love slave. It doesn't mean that I am under the law and have received the spirit of fear again unto bondage. No, I have received the spirit of sonship, whereby I call Abba Father. Oh, the spirit of the love of God dwells in me. I love him who first loved me. It's only that kind of service that Jesus accepts anyway, that has any value. And if we look carefully into this word, seems to me it makes very plain that a watchful disciple is serving the Lord Jesus in a twofold way. We read here about the loins being girded. Now that, of course, speaks of readiness for service, to do the master's bidding. But we also read about the lights being burned and being kept burning. And the New Testament tells us, just what I quoted in that word, he, the Holy Ghost, is the equipment for life and for service. The Holy Spirit is provided for us. Oh, how wonderful it is. And isn't the Holy Spirit the all-inclusive gift of the blessings of salvation? It's the Holy Spirit. That's why the Lord Jesus says in one gospel that the Heavenly Father gives good gifts to them that ask, and in the other, he gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask. When we have received the remission of our sins, we are in an attitude and in a condition where we can receive the Holy Spirit. And we are to pray and ask our Heavenly Father to give us the Holy Spirit. And we are to seek to lay hold of this marvelous gift for life and for service. The expression in the New Testament, being filled with the Spirit, I know, refers to the enduement with power, to the manifestation of his power. When we look at these passages that speak about the experience of being filled with the Spirit, why, that has to do with the manifestation of his power. The initial experience of being filled with the Spirit, the first such experience, we call the baptism, receiving the baptism. Well, we have received the beginning of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to us and he says, here I am. I want you to know. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I want you to know that I will be with you. I want to use you. I can let my power be manifested in you and through you. But beloved, the Holy Spirit is given not only for the manifestation of Christ in the gifts and powers of the Spirit, but he is given primarily to make us holy, to make us well-pleasing in our conduct. Oh, how wonderful is that prayer in Colossians 1. Fill us with the knowledge of thy will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord, that we might walk worthy of the Lord. Unto all, please, that's first. And then, being fruitful in every good work. But isn't it a comforting thought that the essential service which we disciples are to render is a holy life, living a holy life. When we read in the Word of God about being ready for the coming of the Lord, why, it is always this that is emphasized. The holy life, holy conduct, and conversation. That's the thing. That's the essential. Yes, the other is promised and provided and necessary. God wants to endue us again and again with power from on high. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The ministry of the kingdom, the testimony unto Christ, prayer of intercession in his name, every service in the kingdom must be wrought in the power of the Holy Ghost. And yet, beloved, let your loins be girded about unto service. You are called to be his servants. He wants to send you. He wants to use you. He wants to charge you with a ministry of one kind or of another kind. Be always ready. Be equipped. You must know the power of the Spirit. You must know what it is to be filled and empowered by the Spirit unto service. Even in a meeting like this, oh, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and the power of the Holy Spirit produces that spiritual song, that spiritual praise and worship. Yes, oh, how wonderful it is. But let your lights be burning. Let your lights be burning. It is God that is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So work out according to God's working within your own salvation, and do all things without murmuring, without doubting. We must cooperate with God's Spirit in obedience and faith. And if you do all things without murmuring and without doubting, ye shall be harmless, blameless. Ye shall be the sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as light, or literally, light bearers in this world. Oh, beloved, are we watching for the coming of Jesus? Are you watching? Do you belong to those who are looking for his appearing? He who hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It will not be a matter of carelessness to you to to listen to the word of God, to read the admonitions of the scriptures, the commands of Jesus. It will not be a matter of carelessness to you what others think about your conduct, whether or not you bring glory to Jesus or dishonor him. You will desire, as the Apostle Paul says, to be well-pleasing unto him. You will be ambitious. That's the word which the Apostle uses in 2 Corinthians 5. This is my ambition, to be always well-pleasing unto him. Why, who gave him that ambition? The love of Christ constrains me. If one died for all, then they are all dead. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him. Hallelujah. Ah, that's a disciple. That's a bondservant. I'm living unto Jesus. Not only when I'm in meeting, or when I do something special for him. No. In the performance of my daily duty, at my work, in the factory, the office, in school, in the kitchen, wherever it is, I'm living for Jesus. Whatsoever you do, do it from the heart, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Ye are the bondservants, the slaves of Christ. The Apostle writes to the Colossians and Ephesians. Yes, beloved, living for Jesus. Oh, it's a practical thing. It's so wonderfully practical, isn't it? And as my brother said, how we ought to learn to redeem the time, to redeem every day. Why, the meanest job is sanctified by that truth that we are his bondservants, and that all we can do in order to please him. Put on, have put on, the whole armor of God. And then pray, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with all perseverance for all the saints. Oh, our conflict is not against flesh. Beloved, are we awake? Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. The time is short, and he calls upon us to be awake for eternal reality. When he comes, follow after holiness, without which shall no man see the Lord. Does he really mean that? Thou hast a few names in Sardis. They have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white. But what about others? There are many in Sardis who have their garments defiled and have lost that touch. What about them? There's no promise given to them, is there? They shall walk with me in white. Oh God, help us. Waiting, watching for his coming, Jesus. My, it implies exactly this, as we have heard, that we give room to the Holy Spirit, that we receive the Holy Spirit. Wonderful, the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is provided for you, for me, this wonderful gift, a gift given to me. And in that gift, Christ, the living one, given to me, to minister to me, always. Some time ago we spoke from this chapter, I believe, how, maybe it was in a German meeting, how important it is that we walk in the presence of Him who sees right through us, who hears every word we speak, who knows our every thought. And this one, beloved, loves us. And He desires to work in us that which is well-pleasing. Oh, that's it. The baptism with the Holy Spirit unites me with this living Christ. Child of the King, be filled with the Spirit. Nothing but fullness thy longing can mean. He is the induit for life and for service. Thine is the promise. Seems to me that this is very much like the parable of the virgins, isn't it? Oil in the vessel. But beloved, we are without excuse if we don't get on, provide. Hallelujah! Oh, this wonderful Jesus gives Himself to us. And the Apostle Peter says, if we really acknowledge Him, why, there is given unto us everything we need for life, to attain to that life, and for God. Right now and here, all is provided, all is given. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. But we must come, we must bestir ourselves, we must arouse our soul that we may not sleep. We must quicken our vision by looking into the Word of God and listening to the voice of the Lord, by fixing our gaze upon that glorious, wonderful goal to which we are, to use an expression of Peter, hastening. Yes, He's coming again. My, when the shepherd had received the message from the angel and heard the angelic choir, it says, they hasten to Bethlehem. Some of them were getting pretty old, but they got there maybe 5 minutes later anyway, and you know. But they hasten. Oh, we ought to hasten to the day of the Lord. My Lord, deliver us from all sleepy beds. One day, I received a telephone call. It was, I think, in Peoria. The man didn't tell me who he was, but he says, say, what is the cure of spiritual tepidity? Look what. Of course, the answer is right at hand. Fire. That's the cure. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, send us an outpouring of Thy Spirit that will kindle in us the fire of a holy watchfulness. Will make real to us that event. He's coming again. Beloved, the day is at hand. Are we living holy lives? Have we oil in the vessel? Are our garments unspotted? The day is at hand, and he will call his servants and give them their reward. And it will be different if you get there to stand before the Son of Man. Still, he will reward you according to the measure in which you have served him, the measure of faithfulness and devotion. My Lord, help us tonight. You alone can gird our loins and fill our lamps with that oil. And we pray that thou wilt help us. O God, where we have come under a spell of spiritual lukewarmness, we pray, my God, send the fire upon us. Send it into our hearts. Amen.